Grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Now, sadly, Chronicles has a tendency to get a bad rep because most people think that Chronicles is a repeat of Kings, when in all actuality, Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles is actually an overview of the entire Old Testament. And so I always encourage people, don't read it right after 1 and 2 Kings. You know, read through all the other Old Testament books, then read it last. Because it's an overview of the entire Old Testament. And it is a beautiful book. I preached out of Chronicles a couple weeks ago, maybe even last week. I'll be preaching out of it again today. And we're going to be looking at the topic today that the Lord sees our devotion. When you find a good exercise program, it's hard to be devoted to that program. You know, we have a tendency, we'll start an exercise program, we'll do well with it for a few weeks or months, and then we don't see no results. I expect when I start a workout program or go on a diet, I expect to see results like the next day. You know, it don't work that way. If you want to see results from a diet or an exercise program, unfortunately, you have to stick with it. You have to be devoted to that program. The same thing can happen with our walk with Christ. There are times where we feel as though we're not seeing results. There are times when we reach the point where like, why go to church? Nothing's ever going to change. Why continue our walk with Christ? Nothing's going to change. Why continue doing this ministry? Nothing's going to change. And we can often feel like that. But even so, we must continue to follow God while being entirely devoted to Him. We need to be more concerned about God's will than the results, trusting that God's results will come in God's time. When we take our focus off of God, we fall. Sometimes people give their lives to Christ and they're on fire. Have you ever seen a new believer? They give their life to Christ and they're like, yes, they're like on fire. And we're like, man, I wish I still felt that way. But then rather quickly, we see that spark go out. We must continue. This is what we see happen with King Asa. At the beginning of his rule, at the beginning of his reign, Asa was devoted to God. And we could see that through his life and his leadership. But at the end of his life, we see that the devotion to God is not there. And it leads to problems in his life. And so as the people of God, we are to be entirely devoted to God all the days of our lives because he sees us. God sees our devotion and he knows whether it is accurate. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage that you give to us in Chronicles and the story of Asa and how it reminds us of our need to be people that are devoted to you, that not only do we need to start well, but we need to finish well. There is a point in our walk with Christ where we got to get to the point where we see we've got to just keep on keeping on. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage, we will see that need today. I pray that you would encourage us through the power of your Spirit. I pray that you would lift us up, and I pray that you would challenge us. I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move as only you can. I pray that you would help my focus to be on your text and preaching your word and not the other things that are going on, Lord. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would be with us today, and I pray that you would move like never before in your church. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing that we see is we see the need to rely on the Lord. As it starts out, it says, "And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were the Ethiopians and the Libyan not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand.'" In those two verses, you see that word relied repeated a couple times. In one incident, you see where Asa relied on the Lord. And in the other incidents, you see where he relied on man, or he relied on the Syrians, or he relied on a human army. Well, as we look at the life of Asa, he was once a good king. Asa became king of Judah during the divided kingdom. And as he begins his reign, we see that he was a good king and followed the ways of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 14, 2 through 4 says, "And Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God, for he removed the foreign altars and high places, shattered the sacred pillows, cast the ashram in pieces, and said for Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to do the law of the commandment." So as we see at the very beginning of his career, at the beginning of his reign, Asa was a good king. He sought the Lord, and he even wanted the people of Judah to know him. And so he wanted to follow God, and he wanted the people to follow God. Well, this prophet shows up and says, "Do you remember the army of the Ethiopians that came against you and how God delivered them into your hands?" You got to hear this. This is from 2 Chronicles 14:9. "Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, went against them with a military force of 1 million men and 300 chariots." Now, did you hear that? 1 million men. Well, the context of what is happening here now in 2 Kings Chronicle is Baasa, the king of Israel, is trying to lay siege to Judah. Baasa has a treaty or partnership with the king of Syria. And so Asa says, "Hey, here's what I'm going to do." He sends the gold and the silver out of the Lord's temple, out of the king's house, sends it to the Syrians and says, "Break your covenant with Baasa and come save me." Now, we know that the army of the northern kingdom, the army of Israel, was nowhere near as big as 1 million men. And so if God was able to deliver an army of 1 million men to Asa, could not he have taken care of this? Could not God have delivered him not only from Baasa of Israel, but also given the king of Syria into his hands? Could not God, who is awesome and incredible and amazing, not given both of these kings to Asa? But instead of seeking God, instead of relying on God like he did at the beginning, he relies on man. 1 million versus little Judah, and Judah would win because Asa was devoted to the Lord and relied on him. But here, instead of turning to God, he turns to Aram, or modern day Syria, for help. Asa, who earlier put his hope in God, now puts his hope in man. Asa looks outside of God for help, and he looks to a pagan nation for help. The prophet, or seer, same thing, comes along and reminds Asa of all the good that he's done. He tells him, you remember when God saved you from the Ethiopians? And he tells him that there's going to be consequences for seeking a pagan nation instead of relying on God. The seer calls out the king. Talk about a little bit of boldness. He tells the king, you've acted foolishly. What you have done is not right. Well, how do we take this and apply it to our lives? Because again, one of the biggest keys with Scripture as we look at these passages is how do we apply this to our life? As we look at King Asa and see how he was once devoted to God and how now he is seeking man, we have to ask the question, where are we turning to for help? As we look at our lives today, are we devoted to God? When problems come in our lives, do we seek the help of God first, or do we look to man? When we find ourselves in difficult places, do we try to figure it out alone, or do we cry out to God for help? When Asa cried out to God, the army of 1 million was defeated. When he looked to the pagan king, it led to wars and problems. Had he turned to God, God would most likely have given him both kings. Now the king of Syria has escaped his hands because he failed to look to God. What about us? Where are we failing to look to God in our lives? Where are we failing to rely on God? Do we rely on God in every situation? When we get news of a sickness, do we rely on God? Do we trust in Him that His will be done? You know, there are some who may question me and question my motives, why I am here today preaching when my dad is in the hospital with another heart attack and not there. And the answer is quite simple, because this is where God called me to be. And I'm relying on Him to take care of that. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm where God wants me. I take the Scripture very literally where it says a man will leave his mother and father and become one with his wife. Or when we follow after Jesus, we have to leave behind sometimes. I trust God. I know He's going to take care of my dad. I know He's got this covered. And I know that God had a message that we need to hear today and that I needed to be here to preach it. And I truly believe that. Are we relying on God for every aspect of our lives? Are we relying on Him with our finances? Are we relying on Him with our health? Are we relying on Him in our difficult situations? Are we relying on Him when things get hard? Do we rely on Him only when it's good? Or do we rely on Him at all times? Do we trust what He has called us to do? God set Asa up as king, and Asa was a good king. And as long as Asa was devoted to God, he was blessed. It took down an army of 1 million. You talk about incredible. Then his devotion wanes. And instead of relying on God, he relies on man. He puts his hope in man. Where are we putting our hope? You know, the same principle applies when it comes to our happiness. Because if we put our hope for happiness in people, if we expect the people around us to keep us happy, if we expect the people around us to be our source of stability, God's got to be that source. Because I promise you, people's going to let us down. I promise you, there's going to be times, as you all, I've been here over 5 years now. You guys know, there's going to be times when I'm going to let you down. I'm sure at some point in time, all of you have been let down by me at some point in time. Because I'm a human, I sin, I mess up, I make mistakes. Humans will always let us down. Our family will let us down at times. Our friends will let us down at times. The church will let us down at times. But the one person who will never let us down is God. Are we relying on Him? Are we putting our trust in Him? So the first thing that we see in our text is we see the need to rely on God. The second thing that we see in our text is we need to realize that He sees all. And verse 9 is one of those powerful verses. I don't know how you feel about this, but if you like to highlight or underline in your Bible, this is one of those verses that you can highlight or underline. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, where it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." In other words, there is absolutely nothing in this world that God does not see. The prophet shows Asa that the Lord sees all. There is nothing that escapes the sight of our great and awesome God. The Lord sees our problems. He knew what Asa was facing, and had Asa turned to him, the outcome could have been very different. So I want to encourage you today, the Lord sees your problems. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what everybody's going through. I know what some of you are going through, those that have shared with me. But I want to encourage you this morning that the Lord sees. His eyes goes to and throughout the earth. And so he sees every single problem. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the hurt you have. He knows the pain you have. And I want to let you know that he has not left you alone in it. He is there with you in that pain. He's just waiting for us to look to him and say, "God, I'm here. May your will be done." The Lord knows our problems. He sees our problems. He sees them before we even do. The Lord sees our hearts. He knows if we're devoted to him or just going through the motions. He knows if we're here this morning because this is where we want to be, because we wanted to come into the house of God and worship our God and just be the people that he's called us to be. Or he knows us. He knows if we're just going through the motions. Is this just what we do? Because how easy is it to get into those ruts? I'm ashamed to say, but I think it's important to be transparent as pastor. There are times when that happens in my quiet time. You know, I'm always talking about how we need to read our Bibles every day. And yes, I do read my Bible every day. But there are times when I'm just like, "Man, I got to read my Bible." Then there's other times where it's like, "I can't wait to read my Bible." And sometimes we go through those ruts, and it's easy to get into those ruts. And God knows that. God knows if our hearts are in the right place. He knows if we come to church because we want to be there to worship him and serve him, or if we're there just because that's what we do. Or the famous one, he knows if we're here because we love God and want to worship him, or if we just want to plod across the street. I mean, he knows the motives of our hearts. He knows when we open the Bible and read it, are we here? Are we reading it because we want to, because we want to grow in our walk with Christ? Or because I got to get it checked off. He knows our hearts. The Lord sees our actions. He knows how we respond to circumstances. He knows when we get angry and when we get mad and when we get upset over things that we probably shouldn't get angry, mad, and upset. He knows what we're doing when no one else is looking. Which leads to this: the Lord sees our integrity. He knows who we are when no one else is around. He knows who we are when no one else is watching. Everything that you and I think, feel, say, and do, God sees it all. His eyes go throughout the entire earth. And he knows every thought. He knows every action, every deed, every hurt, every problem, every ache. Everything that you and I could possibly go through, he knows. And I want you to hear this. He gets it. He understands. In the New Testament, we read that we have a high priest in Jesus Christ who understands our sufferings and our hurts. God became a man in the form of Jesus Christ, and he suffered. He dealt with struggles on the earth, so he gets it. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. He knows our hurts. He knows our devotion. And you and I, we need to realize that he sees us. You know, do you ever feel like nobody sees you? Do you ever feel like sometimes you're just there and nobody cares? Sometimes you may feel like you don't matter. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, God sees you. God loves you. He loves you more than you will ever know. And for those who are loyal to him, he will strengthen. God looks and sees. That word loyal is to be devoted or undivided. In other words, as Christians, we cannot be undivided. We've heard the story of how you got one foot in and one foot out. It doesn't work that way. We've often misinterpreted that passage in Revelation that says, "So then, since you are neither hot nor cold, since you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth." And I've heard people say, "Well, God either wants you all for him or not at all for him." That's not what that verse says. That verse is saying God wants you all for him, period. When you drink water, do you want it hot or cold? No. Generally, you want it cold. I don't know anybody that wants to drink hot water. When you take a shower, do you want it hot or cold? Except for in the South, on hot days like we've had it, we generally want it hot. Where Laodicea was located, there were aqueducts that came in bringing hot water for baths, cold water for drinking. But by the time they got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm and it was pretty much useless. So in this instance, hot and cold are both good things. And God is saying, I want you all for me, period. There is no, I either want you or I don't want you. God is saying, I want you. There's no half-hearted, halfway, half in, half out. We are either all in for Jesus or not at all. We are either devoted to him or we're devoted to this world. And it can change easily, as we see in the life of Asa. When we are devoted to him, he will give us the strength to stand against whatever comes our way. When David was devoted to God, he stood against the giant and won. When Joshua was devoted to God and stood against an impenetrable city, the walls fell down. Asa, when he was devoted to God, went against an army of 1 million and won. When Hezekiah was devoted to God, the angel of the Lord went into the camp and destroyed 185,000 enemies without Judah lifting a finger. When the people of God are devoted to God, God gives us the strength to stand against whatever comes our way. When God is the center of our devotion and we trust in him, no enemy, no circumstance, no problem, no hurt can stand a chance against us. When you and I are devoted to God, there is absolutely nothing the enemy can bring against us to sway us. And sometimes I believe that God will test us to see if we're going to be devoted to him or if we're going to run away. Sometimes God is testing our devotion. He wants to see if we're going to be loyal, if we're going to be devoted, if we're going to trust in him. I mean, what would you do if you had an army of 1 million coming after you? I don't think we'd have any choice but to cry out to God. But you know what? Even when the small army comes, we need to pray too. We need to pray at all times. So as we look at the application, where is our devotion? God knows our devotion. Are we fully devoted to him? Do we take time each day to spend with him in his word? Do we take time each day to praise his excellent name? Do we take time each day to pray? Prayer, praise, and Bible should be a priority in our lives, something that we do each and every day. Because every day we have something to praise God for. And over the last few months, we as a church have been getting serious about prayer. To the point that now on Sunday mornings at 9:45, we meet before church even starts to pray. Just to pray for God to move in the church, to pray for our Sunday school, to pray for the worship service, to pray for whatever's on our hearts or hurts or whatever we're going through. God is moving in this church because we are taking time to pray. Every Sunday, there's a group of guys that pray over me before I stand up and preach. Because we realize and understand that we need God's help. There is incredible power in prayer, so we need to pray every day. We need to cry out to Him every day, and we need to praise Him, because every single day we alive, we got a reason to praise God. Every single day that we get up in the morning, we praise God. Every single day, we have every opportunity, every privilege, every joy to praise Him. And that is what it is to be devoted. When we are devoted to Him, we pray, we praise, and we read His Word. Do we see our walk with Him as a priority in our lives? Now the hard one. Are we devoted to His church? Because after all, Jesus did die for the church. After all, Jesus loves the church. And Jesus calls us to be a part of the church. So as long as the church is preaching and teaching the truth of the gospel, is preaching and teaching the truth of the Bible, we should be devoted to the church that God has called us on. To rely on man cost Asa gold and silver, because he sent gold and silver to buy off the army. It would cost him that army. It's not going to be delivered into his hands now. Eventually, he would lose his health because he did not turn to God. We need to make sure that we turn to God with complete devotion. And that leads us to our last point today. Repentance should be the result. Now notice I said repentance should be the result. Because when we look at Asa, we see the opposite. In verse 10, it says, "Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time." Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady or his sickness was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. So as the prophet comes to Asa and calls out his sin, this should have led to repentance. This is what happens with David. When David sins against the Lord in the situation with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet comes to him, convicts him of his sin, and this is what David says. David says in 2 Samuel 12:13, "I have sinned against the Lord." So David admits what he did. He repents. Instead of repenting, Asa gets mad and throws the prophet in jail. Then he starts abusing the people. Even though the prophet says God is watching, Asa still does not repent. Sadly, we see a lot of this in our world today. People come to church, hear the truth, know that God is watching them and calling them to repent, yet they continue in their stubbornness and fail to repent of their sins before holy God. Some people, and this might hurt a little bit, some people would rather leave the church than repent of their sin. Some people would rather leave God's church than admit that they sinned against holy God. Because most people who leave a church because their feelings are hurt. A lot of times it's because somebody said something biblically that they didn't like. It hurt the feelings. And so instead of repenting of their sin, instead of admitting their problem, they get up, they leave the church, and go somewhere else. Some people would rather leave the church than repent of sin. Anger and pride can be the cause of many problems. So it comes down to pride or anger. Asa becomes hard-hearted. How many people have become that way about the church? How many people have become hard-hearted about the church? I have to make a confession. There was a time in my life when I was working on my degree in missions because I did not want anything to do with the American church. I'd lost all hope in the local church. I wanted to go overseas where people actually cared about Jesus. So I thought. I mean, people do care. But I want nothing to do with the local church. I'd been hurt. I was disappointed. People just come and sit in pews. They don't want anything to do with change. They don't want to hear the truth. I'm like, God, I don't want anything to do with that. And so God says, I'm going to call you to pastor one then. Now I can't see myself doing anything different because I have come to love the church. I've come to see that there is a lot of hope in the American church. That the people do love Jesus. That the people do want to grow. That the church does want to change and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And it's incredible when we start to see that. But there was a time in my life when I was hard-hearted towards the church, and God had to break that hard heart. And I'm so glad He did, because I can't see myself doing anything other than pastoring now. It's like people keep asking me, so after you get your degree, what are you going to do? Preach at Hopewell? Well, what are you getting the degree for? So I can be a better pastor for them? It's like God has given me a heart for the church and for the people of the church. But how many people have become hard-hearted towards the church? They've turned their back on the church. They've left the church. And there's a lot of people that sadly have not only left this church, but don't go anywhere anymore. They would rather sit at home and do nothing than admit sin. When the Word of God speaks to our hearts and convicts us of sin, we need to fall to our knees in repentance instead of running away with the hardness of our hearts. Asa continues on a downward spiral. He gets sick and still does not turn back to God. Instead, he puts all his hope in the doctors. Now, again, we need to understand that they're not saying it's bad to seek doctors for help. If something happens, call 911. But you better start praying while 911's on the way. I mean, the writer's not saying there's doctors are bad, that he shouldn't have went to doctors. It says that he only looked at doctors. He only trusted in doctors. I was reading a story once about how a pastor went overseas and they were seeing miracles like crazy over there. And the pastor said, why are you guys seeing these miracles and we're not? And the guy overseas says, because we don't have 911. The guy's like, what? If somebody gets sick, all we can do is pray. And God is healing and rescuing. So please, if something happens, if I pass out, call 911. But pray too. Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. But what we see here is, he put all his hope in the doctors. He did not seek God. He did not ask God to heal. He did not ask God to help. One who once followed the Lord does not want to hear the truth now because it stands against what he did. Not only was Asa angry with the seer, but he also took it out on some of the people. When we become angry or bitter with one person, we tend to take it out on others. When somebody gets mad or upset with one person, that tends to overflow into all of their relationships. Instead, we need to come to the cross with our anger and our bitterness and let the cross of Christ take it all away. Verse 13 ends our section today by letting us know that Asa died. He died not seeking the Lord, not being devoted to the Lord, not following the Lord. So as we think about how this applies to our life, we have two options: repent or stubborn. When we hear the truth of God, there are only two choices. We can repent or we can be stubborn. When you hear that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you can repent and accept Jesus as your Savior, or you can keep living your life your way with a stubborn heart, thinking you don't need a Savior and spend eternity in hell. I mean, that's your choice. When we hear the word convict us of sin, we can repent or harden our hearts. Do we repent, do we stubbornly turn from God and His church because our feelings got hurt? One commentary says, after Asa is told how God feels about what he did, he angrily puts God's messenger in prison and oppresses those people who oppose him. Let us never be so proud and arrogant that we never think we need correction. Our devotion to God is not just for a short period. It's for our whole life. He gave His life for us, so we need to live our lives for Him. We are called to live our entire lives devoted to God, not just a portion. It comes down to our devotion. Asa was devoted to God and things went well. Asa then was not devoted to God and things did not go well. And sadly, often people remember how Asa ended his career instead of how he began his career. And sadly, if we end badly, sometimes it can wipe out all the good we've done. This is a powerful reminder to each of us that we need to end well. We never reach a point where we stop being devoted to God. Our age does not matter when it comes to the service of God. God sees our devotion to Him, and He knows if it is accurate or just for show. He knows if we walk the walk or just talk the talk. We cannot get weary in well-doing, as Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not get weary. So what is God saying to you today? Do you need to rely on God today? Do you need to put all your faith and trust in Him, knowing that He's got you? Do you need to realize that He sees all? Do you need to realize that He sees your hurt, that He sees your pain, that He sees you? Do you need to repent? Do you need to come out and say, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you? Do you need to repent and be saved? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never made that decision to give your life to Christ, and you need to come and say yes to Jesus. But maybe you need to repent of sin and return to God. Whatever it is, let God speak to you. Lord, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for Your incredible grace, love, and mercy. And we pray that You would speak to our hearts through the incredible beauty of Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a people that are devoted to You. I pray that we would be encouraged by the fact that You do see us. You know our hurts. You know our pains. That we'd be encouraged by the fact that we can rely on You, that we can trust in You. And that we would be encouraged by the fact that we can repent, that You are waiting for us to return to You. And You are waiting with open arms. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. For someone here that doesn't know You, we pray that You would bring them to the place of knowing You as their personal Lord and Savior today. We thank You and we love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.